joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, we're wishing you the best. And we're going to give you a couple of updates, and then we'll be bringing on our illustrious guest for today, Dr. Eric Dorningen, who is a licensed naturopathic physician and acupuncturist. But let me tell you some of the things that are going on at naturalnurse.com and with Natural Alternatives Health Education and Multimedia Network. First of all, we would love for you to join our mailing list, and that's a very easy thing to do. You just go to naturalnurse.com, go down to the very bottom of the page, and it says basically join mailing list. And then the only thing we ask for is only your email, nothing else, no name, no phone number. Once you put your email in, you'll be getting a confirmation email from Health Realizations because they run our newsletter. And once you get that, and do check your spam, that's where it often goes, all you have to do is click yes, and then you're on our newsletter. If you ever don't want to be on the newsletter anymore, you just hit a very obvious unsubscribe button, and that's the end of that. I know sometimes you get things and you can't even find that unsubscribe button, but this is an easy on-off. We send out very few emails, I would say less than once a month, just telling people some information and what they could find out in terms of what's going on with natural alternatives. So I'll give you an update on some of our classes and events. And if you go to naturalnurse.com and go to classes and events, these are all described with ways you can join and, you know, get on the list for the individual event. For instance, on September 16th, we have our autumn wild edible and herb identification walk, where we allow 30 people and it does cut off every time. And that's at Restoration Farm in Old Bethpage, New York, where we actually go out together and we identify wild plants. One question always comes up about how do you know when something is a weed? And what we find out is that a weed just means a plant that you do not know what to do with it, or you don't want it in a particular place. Otherwise, every plant is an individual in and of itself. We talk about that in our Consciousness of Plants courses, but also in terms of the edible and medicinal nature. That's an important thing to know. Even here on Long Island, especially during the last big hurricane called Sandy that caused a lot of destruction, like what's going on everywhere in our world, and we never know where that's going to happen next, such as Hawaii this week. It's a really good thing if you know what plants that are outside you can use for food and medicine, because as soon as that electric goes off, there's often no way to get more food because the gas stations aren't pumping, the refrigerators aren't working, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, that can happen in an instant. So learning about your outside wild, edible, and medicinal plants can really be truly a life-saving experience, or you can just do it for fun. Either way, it's a great thing to know. And in the olden days, not so olden, just my grandmother's time, a lot of people knew that, and at least one person in the village always knew it, who was the medicine person in the village. So if you'd like to know it, just come on our wild, edible, and medicinal classes. We also have one in Connecticut on September 17th. That is not only an herb walk where we identify wild plants, we also gather them together and make them into medicine. So at that class, which is at Gilberti's Organic Herb Farm in Connecticut, you actually go home with salve that you made yourself, a cough medicine extract that you made yourself out of cherry bark and other edible and medicinal plants, and also a smudge stick that you can use to cleanse your environment, that we grow our own wild white sage and make smudge sticks out of it. So that's going on also September 17th. And then we have lots and lots of online classes, all of which, by the way, have CEU credits. If you have a license of any kind, such as a nurse or an acupuncturist, massage therapist, registered dietitian, all of our classes give CE units. Our Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course has 18 CE units, and many of our other ones have different amounts. We also have a completely free online class coming up, which is called Herbs for Eye Health and Electromagnetic Field Deflection. And that one is on September 19th at 8 p.m. You can sign up for it now and you'll get your own link. And that is a 100% free class on what herbs could you use, how much, and why, and when for such things as electromagnetic field deflection and making sure your eyes are getting a lot of the protection that they need in today's world. We also have our Chinatown Herb Walk, which is in downtown New York City. It's like going to another country for the day, and we explore Chinatown. This will be our 40th trip there with groups, with myself and my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, and we'll be talking about a lot of the clinical aspects of Chinese medicine. If you're interested in that, listen to our archive. You know, you can get our podcast just by clicking podcast. Our shows are not podcasts, by the way. They are actually radio shows that are then sent out on every single podcast venue. So we have this show, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can put that into your podcast little square search and you'll find this show. We have, I think, over maybe 1,000, close to 1,000 shows that are available there, archived. And we have a show called Herbally Yours, which is a half-hour show. We've been doing that inside a radio station studio since 1990. So there's thousands of those as well. Then we also have other online classes, such as ear infections, natural support, and FDA, FTC regulations, in case you're thinking of making your own herbal products. Make sure you take that class first, because so many small players who are just making their own little things and putting them on Etsy are getting letters from the FDA and the FTC. So you want to know the rules first. And then for those of you who really want a big adventure, in March of next year, 2024, this will be our 40th year of taking people on Echo Tours for Cures, the education vacation where we go to the island of Jamaica and actually live in little cottages. They're comfortable, but they're not the Ritz. And we work a lot with the bush doctors there, who are the shamanic natural herbalists. And also have fun, you know, swim and things like that. But it's in Echo Tours for Cures, the education vacation in the island of Jamaica. And all the details for that are also at naturalnurse.com, as well as our books, tons of archive classes, lots of media, etc., free articles. So if you go to naturalnurse.com, you can use it as sort of an education hub for yourself and your learning. So now we're going to bring on board our guest, Dr. Eric Dorninger. And Dr. Dorninger is a naturopathic physician and a licensed acupuncturist. He went to Bastyr University, the same as our own co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone. And it is really the leading accredited university for science-based natural medicine. Before medical school, Dr. Dorninger had a BA in kinesiology from the University of Colorado, and also did EMT, emergency medical technician training. So that really balanced his knowledge between what would be called conventional and also the naturopathic side of things. So the dual exposure laid down the roots for Dr. Dorninger's integrated approach to diagnosis, treatment, and healing. And his website is drdorninger.com. And I went there because I always like to see what you will see if you visit our guest's website. And it's an absolutely beautiful website called Roots and Branches, Integrative Healthcare. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Eric.
Thanks for having me on. Glad to be back.
So we did our other show together. This one we have a lot more time. We'll go all the way to, close to the top of the hour. So we can really go into a lot of things. And I was very, very impressed with your extensive knowledge, which of course naturopaths truly have. So why don't you tell me the difference, first of all, in terms of naturopaths, because you are a licensed naturopath from an accredited university. But there are people who call themselves naturopaths who just, took a weekend course somewhere.
Sure. Once I get done salivating over your offerings and your schedule, I want to come hang out with you guys.
Please do.
And I
We'd
have
love to have you.
a name for your book could be Armageddon Herbalism, where.
Well, that one, that's a good one. We actually have written 16 books,
Yeah.
and one is called The Natural Medicine Chest. We have one called Arthritis, The Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide. We have Cycles of Life Herbs for Women. We have Supplements for Pain. So we've written many, many books, but that can be found at naturalnurse.com books. Thanks for bringing that up. But that does sound like a great name for a book, I'll tell you
Well,
that.
I always joked if bleep does hit the fan, I'm running over and grabbing Brigitte Mars, our local plant ID hero, and a couple of my hunter buddies from jiu-jitsu and heading off into the woods. So
That's a good idea. Brigitte has been on our show many, many times, and she and I have lectured at herbal conferences probably over 40 years. Yeah, she definitely is an excellent person to go out with, especially you want to go with an herbalist wherever you're listening in your area who know the local plants, because they're quite different if you're in the Southwest or up in Colorado or in the New York area. There's a lot of plants that like to grow in special places, but you guys have tons of stuff there.
we do. So that might be like a good segue into your question, which is there's people who study herbalism and naturopathy from a hobby standpoint, even to support their nutritional training or therapy training, and they take people into the woods or just on a hike with plant ID to address nature deficit disorder, where people are just not getting enough time in nature. And all these different trainings are great, but what defines a naturopathic doctor is actually at least a 4-year accredited Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine degree. And those schools are listed on the AANP, the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians. And this is a very intensive, rigorous brick and mortar training. And what I mean by brick and mortar is you actually go to a school. My nickname for Bastyr is Hogwarts. You go to this incredible campus on the north end of Lake Washington, and there's a standalone school with a real cadaver lab and all of your basic sciences and your physical exam classes, and then all of your herbalism and homeopathy and nutrition training and so on and so forth. But you really get a primary care training so that you can do primary care health in states that license and register naturopaths to that level of diagnosis and treatment. And that is getting close to about half of the United States of America. And then there's a lot of non-brick and mortar kind of online trainings that claim to train a naturopathic doctor, but they are no longer allowed to use the word doctor. And in the legal schmeagle where we've landed is calling that naturopath or traditional naturopath. And they do not have a rigorous pre-med program. They do not have to take all of their basic sciences, apply to the schools, and then do a primary care training in a doctor of naturopathic medicine setting, then loading on all the integrative and CAM, complementary and alternative medicine modalities. So it's a little bit frustrating when you go through your pre-med at a traditional university. I did University of Colorado. I also did EMT and hospice on the side, but I did a pre-med training with the kinesiology, which is now called integrated physiology or IFI at CU. But then you have to apply to the naturopathic medical school. And if you get accepted, then you're in for at least a 4-year training, which is 2 years of didactic, which is more classroom, and then 2 and 2.5 years of actual clinical training while you're still going to sit in your butt classes. You're seeing patients all day under supervision. And then you have to pass the NPLEX, which is a naturopathic physician licensing examination, or the NPLEX. And then you have to apply for registration or licensure in the state that you're going to practice in. And at that point, you're basically practicing within your scope of that state. There are some states like Arizona and Oregon and Washington where you basically, in Arizona, I can write chemotherapy. Why the heck do I need to write chemotherapy as a naturopath? But it just says, hey, this is, we want you as a full practicing naturopathic physician that can offer primary care services and also fill in some of these gaps on, do we really need amoxicillin for an earache, or are we just threatening antibiotic resistance at that point? You know the deal. We clean up the diet. We do some wet sock or some hot sock treatment. We do some garlic mullein, St. John's wort, ear oil, and you're done with that freaking earache without, while sparing an antibiotic.
Wait. I'm going to slow you down there.
Yeah.
Because you ran through an absolutely fabulous protocol for something like an ear infection, which no one is going to get from their conventional physician.
That's right.
Which yeah. You also are very well versed in. So that's why I think a naturopathic degree should be the only medical degree that all doctors have, something similar to where you know how to use, well studied. Even if they're traditional, they are now, has tons of evidence in terms of the fact that what you just described can cure an ear infection. And we use the word cure, knowing they don't like to use that in medicine. They only like to use manage. So you're using things that are much safer, much more cost effective, much better for the patient, and work better than the antibiotic without, you know, creating that repeat scenario. However, you are a trained physician. You're also a trained in emergency medicine. So you know when it is time to pull out the big guns, because we don't throw all those away. We just save them for the appropriate intervention time.
That's right.
So give us that little protocol again. That was amazing. So, perfect.
And again, a lot of this, I'd have to go back and see that, find this paper. It's over 20 years old. You know, we talked about, you know, my heroes are Alan Gaby and Tori Hudson and Lise Alschuler and Pam Schneider and Joe Pizzurno and Bill Mitchell, all these people. I went to Bastyr during the golden years, and we always practiced science-based natural medicine. If you could get that higher upper echelon of conventional model, evidence-based medicine is changing one variable and looking for a change. The problem with that is it doesn't see three-dimensionally. So, okay, I can give a statin and lower your cholesterol. Statins are relatively worthless at preventing heart attack and stroke. So I can change a biochemistry marker, but not necessarily change the whole three-dimensional experience for the patient. However, there is good things you can glean as a clinician off evidence-based medicine studies. And one was in Israel. They put the garlic mullein St. John's wort eardrops, which you can get at any health food store, we carried in our clinic, versus amoxicillin. And they both took care of the earache in the same time frame. So you had the exact same timeline to get the kid out of earache. But the garlic mullein St. John's wort eardrops came with less pain. So who doesn't want to get there just as quick with less pain for their child? So these eardrops, and you'll find different versions, but the big three are garlic oil, St. John's wort oil, which is also called hypericum, and the mullein. If you ever feel mullein on your plant ID, it feels like a soft, silky blanket. Those three oils are in a little tincture bottle full of, usually in a base of olive oil. And you just lay your child down. This is usually as a naturopath with the young kids, where you let them have some screen time, and you lay them on their less achy ear, and you literally pull their ear back a little bit, straighten out that ear canal, and you put one drop of that oil in. That is a fat-soluble oil, so you let it sit on that eardrum, on the tympanic membrane there, for about 5-10 minutes, and the oil will soak in. And then if you want, you can stick a little piece of cotton ball in there, have them sit on the other, lay on that ear that you just dropped in, and drop a drop of oil in the other ear. Hang out for a little bit. And then we talked about wet sock or hot sock treatment. You'll see it two different ways. And the key for all the parents out there with wet or hot sock, and adults can do this too, you can be single and enjoy the heck out of this remedy, is you have to have a high fever child. So if your kid's not 101 or higher, you don't do wet sock, hot sock. And you basically take cotton socks, which are unfortunately getting harder and harder to find. They're all blended with weird plastic, you know, stuff. But you take some cotton socks, or as close to it, 80%, 90%. You rinse them under your sink and you wring them out. So they're wet, but they're not soaking wet. You put them on your feverish child's feet. And these are for the kids who are kind of booming. And then you put wool socks over those, 100% wool socks, and you send them to bed. And it's called hot sock because in the morning you'll find those cotton socks are completely dry. And a lot of the congestion and stuffiness and inflammation in the head, neck region drained. And these are just classic naturopathic remedies that we share with friends and parents, obviously.
Oh, yeah, and they work so well. And it sounds crazy, like witchcraft or something. Yeah. But, you know, I use that on my children, and my son will be 48 years old this month. So over 50 years, but that's not a long time. It's been used for hundreds of years. So why these simple things that work are thrown out in conventional medicine, while the doctor probably doesn't even look, you know, take too much time with the child to see what mood they're in, because that would influence a naturopath's decision. Are they weepy and clingy, in which case you might recommend something like a Pulsatilla homeopathic, or are they screaming and bright red, in which you might go with a different homeopathic? So all it matters so much, the individual you're treating. And just that little hot sock therapy works so incredibly well that we don't have to go to antibiotics. Antibiotics may work, but they seem to cause that repetitive redevelopment of those severe ear infections, which is not a great effect.
Well, I'll share my personal story. I'm the son of an Austrian immigrant butcher. We were in Elizabeth, New Jersey. So when you're talking about all these Long Island hikes, I think of my peeps and my crew back there, and I miss you guys, and I'm so glad you're doing some vitalistic medicine in that dense rat race of you know, Connecticut, New York, Jersey area. And my mom and dad were together. They stayed married, and I was usually with mom after school. But one day, mom had something to do, and I went to my dad's chiropractic appointment with him when I was 4 years old. And he also had his master's of science in nutrition. This was a very well-versed DC and very trained in nutrition. And he was this Dr. Cinciulli over there in Elizabeth. And he was this kind of Italian stallion guy and very charming. He said, "How's little Champy doing?" And my dad said, "Oh, not so good. He's got ear congestion, but getting the ear tubes in 2 weeks." And, you know, and Cinciulli said, "Heck with that. Kid's got dairy problems. Take him off dairy and those ears will clear right up." And this is 1977. And my dad, and he said with humility, not righteousness, "If it doesn't work, you can always reschedule the surgery." Right. And there's a time and a place for ear tubes. And again, it's a Band-Aid that you can put in while you're treating the underlying cause. It's a relief suffering therapy. It's not getting to the root cause therapy. So my dad did that. And literally within a week, my nightmares, my constant earaches, and my waxy ears cleared up. And I remember I had this little chubby pediatrician, Dr. Fiddler. And I remember how much I loved the penicillin and the amoxicillin. They had it in that sweet pink bottle, if you remember, with the little slurpy things. And when my mom and dad moved to North Carolina, she sent me about a stack of 17 antibiotics I had taken by the age of 4 years old. She said, "I thought you might like these." And there were the little tiny scripts that looked about the size of a postcard. I said, "Holy sugar, I mutilated my gut biome. And look at this." And all I needed was to be off dairy. So I tell people dairy is almost like cutting your skull open and pouring concrete in there. When you're someone, some people tolerate dairy just fine, but when you're someone who's constantly congested, sinus issues, ear canal issues, so on and so forth, you also have to consider dietary inflammatories for you as a specific individual. And then don't do health healthcare narcissism, where you tell the whole world they can't have dairy, right? Many people tolerate dairy just fine, but for me personally, it was a very phlegm-producing, earache-enhancing food.
Well, I want to thank you so much for that, and so true. So we're going to take a little break right here, Dr. Eric Darninger, and when we come back, we will be continuing our discussion. And you can find Dr. Darninger's wonderful website at drdorninger.com. And we have a live link after the show. We always post the shows in the archive, so you can easily go to the live link and get yourself right there. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the ancient Chinese science and art of acupuncture.
Acupuncture is a 5,000-year-old medical procedure involving insertion and manipulation of needles into specific points on the body. It is often applied to relieve pain during surgery and for many other conditions.
Acupuncture needles have been found in China that are over 4,000 years old. The first needles were made of stone. Later, bronze, gold, or silver was used, and today they are usually made from steel. Acupuncture was developed around the theory of special meridian points on the body connected to the internal organs, and that vital energy, or qi, flows along these meridians. According to this theory, diseases are caused by interrupted energy flow, and the stimulation of these points restores normal energy circulation. There is some scientific evidence of the existence of the meridians as a separate circulatory system. Studies were done in the 1970s by a Dr. Kim from Korea, where he injected radioactive dyes into the traditional acupuncture points. He observed migration of the dyes along the exact predicted path of the meridians.
Okay. How acupuncture works remains uncertain, but both Western and Eastern scientific studies on rabbits have shown that the analgesic effects are not simply a matter of suggestion. After the discovery in 1975 of endorphins, natural pain inhibitors in the body, some neurophysiologists suggested that the needles may trigger the release of these substances. American and Chinese studies have confirmed that placing acupuncture needles in the brains of dogs raises the level of endorphins in the spinal fluid.
Acupuncture is used today in most hospitals in China and by many private practitioners in virtually every country in the world, including the United States. The primary use is for analgesia, although ulcers, hypertension, asthma, and other conditions have been documented to respond favorably to this treatment. Chinese surgeons prefer acupuncture to the use of drug-induced analgesia because they claim it does not disturb normal body physiology and therefore does not make the patient vulnerable to shock. Brain surgery is especially amenable to this form of analgesia when it is necessary to keep the patient awake during the operation.
Although some modifications in the practice of acupuncture have been made, such as sometimes using a small electric current on the needle instead of the traditional twirling, acupuncture remains intact as an ancient therapeutic technique that has been used successfully for at least 5,000 years. Perhaps you'd like to add this piece of knowledge to your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we are so happy to have our guest right here today, and that is Dr. Eric Darninger. Are you there, Dr. Eric?
I am.
There you are. So thank you for that excellent description of so many things, including a very specific naturopathic therapy, which sounds simple, but is so healing and saves children from pain and aggravation. And like you said, ear tubes and, you know, all those things. I mean, truthfully, my own children who like are in their 50s now have never had an antibiotic. That doesn't mean they never got ill, and it doesn't mean I would not have used that. But when you have knowledge of natural medicine, you usually don't have to go to drugs. So I actually think most people should get through their life with zero drugs. That would actually be normal. But then when something happens, you might need it. When I take my 95-year-old mother to the doctor, and she does have a little dementia, so they come and interview her and say, so what's your list of medications? And she says, oh, I don't take any. And then they call me over and they go, you know, we know your mom's a little confused. Can you please help us and share her medication list? I said, she doesn't take any. And they're like blown away. They cannot believe it. But it's
unicorn.
True. You know, right. It's true. But should everybody, by the time they're 50, be on 4 or 5 meds? Most of those meds are to offset the negative side effects of the first group of meds. So I think it's a really incorrect model. And I think what you are doing at your center, and one thing that's so fantastic is, of course, nowadays, you can access people who don't live in Colorado near your Roots and Branches integrative healthcare system, right? Because I'm sure you have consults with people online.
Yeah, that's correct. And then we also have some nurse practitioners who are licensed in other states. So if we really do need prescriptive therapies for certain things, that's okay too. And, you know, just to kind of say, when does bleep hit the fan and you consider an antibiotic? I want to pick on everybody and celebrate everybody for a minute and just say, if you have a UTI that's entering your kidneys, that can be antibiotic time.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you could fry your kidneys. If you have a cellulitis that's streaking up your arm, that could be antibiotic time. If you have a sinus infection that's been going on 9 months, that can be antibiotic time. But I'm always going to combine it with trying to find the underlying cause. So if we use that antibiotic and we rebuild gut biome, how do you not get that again? And sometimes for a sinus issue, it could, again, be foods, it could be environmental allergens, it could be not treating apnea, it could be a myriad of things. But I have 2 Boulderites who said, I'm not taking conventional antibiotics for their cellulitis. So I treated the heck out of them with oral and tincture oral Golden Seal. We use Heron Botanicals and Wise Woman Herbals predominantly for our tinctures. And I used a lot of Golden Seal in tincture form. And they were both women, and they both came back with vaginal yeast infections. And they said, hey, the cellulitis is gone, but my vaginal flora is off. What happened? What people don't understand is Golden Seal is an antibiotic. And anyone who thinks otherwise is out of their mind. And most of our prescription medicines were derived from Mother Nature and then just refined and polished in pharma. So I tell people things like garlic are incredible because they can kill the bad guys while sparing the good guys. Things like Golden Seal kill the bad guys while killing a lot of good guys. And then things like a traditional prescription, maybe like Augmentin, which is amoxicillin plus clavulanic acid to penetrate bony tissues like sinuses, that kills the good guys and really wipes out, kills the bad guys, but really wipes out the good guys too. So you have to really be working with sturdy probiota like healthy colonizing yeast, like Saccharomyces boulardii, Lactobacillus DDS1, Bacillus coagulans, these probiotics that can really handle being in the presence of a more conventional strong antibiotic. So it's not like an us and them thing. It's really like you're saying, the majority of healthcare can be done through the naturopathic medical model, traditional Chinese medical model, herbalism, so on and so forth, diet and lifestyle. But then there's a time and a place. This is what drives me crazy about our public health model, right? We grew up in the 80s, right? How do you stay healthy? Do the exact opposite of everything public health taught me in 8th grade, and I will live long and prosper. They told me to chase cholesterol and lipid panels to find out who is the highest likely to have a heart attack or stroke in the room. Completely wrong.
Wait, let's go into that one. That's big.
Yes. It's a big one. So there's a clinical trial on 103,000 people. We're about to write a course with a medical doctor friend of mine who taught me everything I know about preventing heart attack and stroke, and I taught him everything that he was unaware of on preventing heart attack and stroke in our model, vitamin K2. He was already aware of vitamin D. He was on to aged garlic extract. He's using the heck out of Dr. Mitchell's Billsbury's concentrated flavonoids for cardiovascular health. But he presented me with this study of 103,000 people that show the people who are heart attacking in this trial statistically have lower cholesterol than the people who are not heart attacking. The people who are heart attacking have lower cholesterol than the people who are heart attacking.
That's
and it's
right.
Only 103,000 people, right? So that's one of many that, but it's the biggest trial we share when we demonstrate that. People use statins as some kind of heroic thing. On the best day, statins have a 24% reduction of heart attack and stroke. When you and I went to school, that is an F. That is a big fat failure. They have a medicine called cholestyramine welcol, which we use for treating mold illness and chronic inflammatory response syndrome. It's part of our Lyme disease approach to take nature toxins like Lyme tick toxin, cyanobacteria from algae blooms, water damage building molds like Stachybotrys toxin out of the body. Cholestyramine welcol is an incredible heart attack and stroke prevention drug. And when you combine it with niacin, flush niacin, vitamin B3 in the fats and HATS trial, you get a 90% reduction in heart attack and stroke. And there is a pharma version of flush niacin called Niaspan. So why aren't these doctors using Niaspan and Welcol instead of statins for a 90% reduction rather than 24% reduction? Time and education. And everyone needs to be like their peers. Right. So it's a scary thing where I have a lot of medical doctor friends. I am not an us and them guy. I told you in the past when I would throw a keg party, everyone's invited. Right. The flute player in Gold Band is making out with the high school quarterback and everyone still talks about, man, you threw great parties. That's because everyone's invited. And it's not this all inclusive nonsense of, well, I'm all inclusive if you're an herbalist. I'm all inclusive if you published out of Harvard. No, everyone's invited. Because everyone has something to share and learn from each other. Once you stop picking tribes and let your guard down and go, wow, take a cardiovascular surgeon on a plant ID walk. They'll fall in love with nature again. They'll find that little 7-year-old excited, medically curious spirit inside of them again, learning about plants and things like the ear oil for their grandchild's earache. But when it comes to conventional model, the number one predictor of what a doctor is doing is what their peers are doing in the peer-reviewed literature. So we're back in eighth grade where if Timmy's smoking a cigarette on the footbridge, I have to smoke a cigarette or I'm going to be kicked out of the club, right? So we really have to say, okay, statins don't do anything impressive. They also, for your listeners, you can type into Google Journal of Nuclear Medicine, dementia, lipophilic statins, that's fat-soluble statins, that is the number one prescribed drug in America. Atorvastatin, Lipitor are examples of this, is converting 65-year-olds with mild cognitive impairment to dementia quicker than the non-statin takers and the small amount of water-soluble statin takers in that clinical trial. But they basically compared people who take fat-soluble statins with non-statin takers, and the statin takers were progressing to dementia on brain MRI, not muscle testing or like on a freaking brain MRI. And that is not hitting Hannity. That is not hitting CNN. That is not hitting MSNBC. How is that not major news? Because you're getting...
Well, it will in 30 years. I mean, I wrote an article on the toxicity of aspartame the year it was released onto the market.
Yes.
And now it's suddenly in the news.
And suddenly... Peter, when you sit down with them, Peter, the team's got it. In this news. bowel disease, not chasing cholesterol molecules, and really have time if you have 3 to 7 minutes with your patient, right? And then you have another 29 to 39 more to go that day.
Let's whole medical model. And that's what we see.
Yes.
We are the devolution of the medical model. And we have to feel sorry for the providers as well, is they come in the room, their patient is way across on the other side. They don't smell them. They don't touch them. They mostly look in the computer for the billing code. They have 7 minutes to do that. Put the billing code in, and then it pops up which drug list you're supposed to give.
That's
print
right.
That out and hand it to them. That's the medical visit. I'm sorry to say that is
the
case.
It's an albatross. It's a three-legged stool albatross, and naturopaths are becoming vulnerable to this, and we got to fight back for identifying and treating the underlying causes. And number one is exactly what you said. It's a time and space collapse. It is a vice around their life, and they starting to hate it because every medical doctor, just like naturopaths, wanted to help people.
Right. Well, they went into it and got all that education. Right.
Number two is drug for symptom, right? That you get beat down to stop critically thinking and give a Band-Aid. Naturopaths are becoming very vulnerable to this. We are giving supplements and modalities instead of identifying and treating the underlying cause. So here comes your IV glutathione. Here comes your turmeric. Instead of asking, why inflammation? Why? Right. So I'm giving a guy an IV glutathione when he sleeps at 8,700 feet in Estes Park, has raging apnea, is getting choked all night as the driving cause of his depression, his brain fog, his fatigue, his ED, his low testosterone. And I tell him to come in for anti-inflammatory IVs. Right. And then I deplete his bank account and his time and his energy instead of getting that poor guy oxygen, the number one physical ingredient for life. And that's a much bigger issue at 5280 a mile high in Estes and Breckenridge and Vail and all these patients we see around us than it is for you guys.
But it's yeah, I know. I lived in Estes Park for a year. I was at a salon there. I was a cocktail waitress and made a lot of money there. But you're right, the air is thin.
The air is thin. Then number three is litigious. Right. So the once you say, hey, if you step out of line and don't offer a statin for an LDL cholesterol of 122, you could lose your license if that person had an event, if they had a heart attack or stroke.
Yes. Right?
And that is absolutely crazy because you have a peer reviewed, well done article that shows giving these 65-year-olds a lipophilic statin converted them to dementia quicker than the non-statin takers. And the other thing we know on that is the Women's Health Initiative, a study of 153,000 women. Thank God we finally put some non-breast cancer money, important topic, but we need to study more with women and women's health into this study. And these women had higher rates of type 2 diabetes when they were on lipophilic statins. Again, a massive study that showed, hey, you don't get barely any prevention of heart attack and stroke off this. You do lower your cholesterol. Who cares? You're chasing a ghost. And they have higher rates of diabetes, which then is a 200% increase for heart attack and stroke. So cigarette smoking, high blood pressure, sedentary lifestyle, they don't hold a candle. They all contribute to type 2 diabetes. But type 2 diabetes is a real risk factor for heart attack and stroke. So the whole thing is asinine. And, you know, you and I feel like that four-year-old boy in The Emperor Wears No Clothes who's staring at the emperor saying, these are not gorgeous silk robes and beautiful draping gowns. He's butt naked. That is a butt naked emperor. And the emperor wears no clothes, right? And per your article on aspartame, what a legacy, you know? But then you can't rub it in people's faces when you were just so commonsensical. You're like, how can a chemical sugar get recognized, tolerated, utilized without concerns in the body? But common sense is not so common.
Yeah, and at that exact same time, it was an interesting time politically, although they have also made stevia now in very artificial forms, but at that time, stevia was just used as a stevia leaf whole extract, and there were some excellent books written about stevia right at the time that aspartame was being released, and they actually made the books illegal. in many areas, and we're burning the books. We have all kinds of shows that we did at that time, because we've been, this show has been on air. This one has been on since Gary Null started the station, but our shows in general have been on since 1987, and that happened during our time on air. So all kinds of interesting things about what is best medically, but what's going on politically, and what kind of message is being used within the medical profession. So you're just giving a fantastic list of really interesting information, Dr. Eric Dorninger. We're going to take another break right here so you can learn about other things going on right here on Progressive Radio Network. You can always reach us at naturalnurse.com. That's the best place to start. It goes to Instagram and Facebook and all those various locations. And you can find more about Dr. Dorninger's work at his email, drdorninger.com. And we'll talk about molds as well when we come back, because boy, is that a problem, especially with hurricanes and floodings and all those things that are going on. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Here comes 5G, two-way transmission. Woo, two-way. What do I get? 5G Black Ops, breaking and entering your brain. Well, there's nothing in there to do. 5G PsyOps, they're going to block you from your own consciousness. How'd they do that? With swarms of WEC nanobots feeding on your soul. 5G thoughts and 5G feelings pulsing in and pulsing out and pulsing in and pulsing out. Which ones are real and which ones are 5G false flags? How do you find out? How do you find out? Well, no matter where you look nor who you ask, you will only find the complete 5G story. When you are with the network where your humanity is in sync with your life, not 5G. And that is only with Progressive Radio Voices at PRN.live.
Hi, I'm Rodney Harris.
And I'm Kyle George.
And we are a host of A Different Angle. We're two young men trying to crack open the minds of today's society.
Where we'll be talking about mental health and all the struggles from all walks of life.
We'll be having special guests and some fun times as well. You can catch us every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern
on PRN.live. Hope to see you there. Lead Stories with Eutrice Lead is now broadcasting live at 5 p.m. Monday through Thursdays. Tune in to hear about and comment on the issues of the day. Following the Gary Null Show at noon, PRN introduced a panel of esteemed hosts, including Ralph Nader, Naomi Wolf, Jimmy Dore, and others. On Tuesday evenings, you will continue to hear Love, Lust, and Laughter at 6 p.m. and the Progressive Commentary Hour at 7 p.m. Common Censored will now be heard at 8 p.m. and Mark Riley, The Intersection of Politics and Culture, at 9 p.m. Thank you for listening to PRN.live, the home of Progressive Radio Voice.
Is there life outside the 5G AI headset? Only your own. Choose life with Progressive Radio Voices at PRN.live, PRN.live.
Welcome back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We love to hear from you. So go to naturalnurse.com. There's a place called Contact, or you could find us at Facebook, The Natural Nurse, or Instagram, The Natural Nurse, and you can send a message that way. But what works best is really going to naturalnurse.com, because then we will get a direct email from you and we will answer you. And today we are talking to Dr. Eric Dorninger. And an amazing array of really in-depth information. You can contact him or find out more at drdorninger, dordoringer.com. That's dordoringer.com. And we will have a direct link on our archive. So we have not spoken yet about something that really plagues so many people and is so underdiagnosed in mainstream medicine, and that is molds and biotoxins. So let's talk about that.
Yes, let me give a quick finish of the 1980s and I'll dive into SIRS, the fancy.
Absolutely, go for it.
So cholesterol does not predict who's going to heart attack or stroke in a room. You need to own that. It is a heart scan at 40 years old or older as a male with a carotid ultrasound, 50 years old as a female, and that's more women are heart attacking and stroking than men in this country. More women die of heart attack and stroke than men in this country. You just start later. So it's dramatic when Tommy loses his dad on the racquetball court at 42 to a fatal heart attack. You're having more stroke and heart attack than all cancers combined as women in this country. You're getting blown off. You are silent heart attackers, and for approximately 50% of our people who die of heart disease, the first sign of heart disease was for 50% of them was a fatal heart attack. So it's a heart scan and a carotid ultrasound. They told us to fear the fat. They told us eat the food pyramid, lots of inflammatory grains, low healthy oils. You literally turn that food pyramid upside down, you have the semblance of a healthy diet. They told us salt is Satan, eggs are the devil, and nerves don't regrow. Every single thing I learned in eighth grade was wrong. So I sift through the CDC, through the FDA, through everything with a critical eye, and we challenge things politely. We don't need to drag people through the mud and do character assassinations, but we need to reinstate scientific integrity where we challenge everything politely. And if you're on a team, it's time to quit that team and come to team critical thinking, commonsensical thinking, and we're allowed to have conversations with differing opinion. Just do it with respect and decency, right? And that's how we're going to figure out what's best for that human being, the suffering chronically ill patient in front of us, who's been to 17 doctors, depleted family finances, time, energy, and still doesn't have underlying cause answers for their illness. So challenge everything politely, including, you know, your own diagnosis. When you get told you have fibromyalgia, tell your doctor, look that up. Algia means pain and fibromyalgia mean muscle fibers. So I told you my muscles hurt and you just told me in Greek my muscles hurt. I'm here for you to tell me not what I have, but why I have. And that is why I'm a naturopathic doctor. Right. The only thing I could see myself doing in conventional model is emergency medicine, because you make sure the patient doesn't die today. But unfortunately, we then graduate them back to their chronic illness where no one scoops them up and helps them solve underlying causes of their illness and helps them become wonderful, productive, creative members of society again. So that's why we look at everything with a critical eye. One of the biggest causes of mystery illness in our clinic is SIRS, chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And that's the fancy term for I'm living in a water damaged building with mold and I am feeling very sick. I have multi-system, multi-symptom experiences. Multi-system is nervous system, reproductive system, dermatology, endocrinology, gastroenterology. So I might have gut issues and my thyroid might be off and I have this big rash and I have constant migraines and depression and fatigue. That's multi-system, multi-symptom illness. And it could be from living in water damaged buildings. You know, buildings have three sources of biotoxins, and bio means nature and toxin means toxin. So even though we don't like people dumping mercury in the Love Canal and Hudson River, and we appreciate what Bobby Kennedy and a lot of those Hudson warriors did with cleaning that place up and seeing fish and wildlife and nature return again. We're not talking about evil companies dumping chemicals. We're talking about nature produced toxins. And the five peer-reviewed published nature toxins are water-damaged building molds and bacteria. There's a bacteria called actinobacteria, and endotoxins, sewer gas, and poop, manure, caca, stool in a building is very dangerous for people. So a broken septic system, you got to deal with that. If your farmhouse you know, has that septic system and it smells like manure all the time, you got to deal with that. So those are the big three indoor air quality ones is water damage, building molds, bacteria, and endotoxin or stool. Lyme and co-infection biotoxin. Take that doxycycline with your Lyme doc, but then you also need cholestyramine well call to mop up the injected biotoxin, tick toxin, in a chronic Lyme case. Recluse spider venoms. The epicenter is Oklahoma, but you find recluse here and there and a lot of places in the states. There is a venom toxin that drives chronic inflammatory responses. And then finally, cyanobacteria or algae bloom. Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire is infamous for this. Lake Erie. Dr. Elijah Stommel up at Dartmouth, MD, PhD, is finding higher rates of ALS around these cyanobacteria watersheds. And then finally, seafood toxin. Ciguatera is an example. Fisteria plagued the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. All Puerto Ricans and Chileans know what Ciguatera is. They deal with outbreaks all the time. And if they like the gringo, they say, hey, don't eat that fish. You could get sick. These all drive SIRS, chronic inflammatory responses. And what happens is there are 24% approximately of the American population who on chromosome 6, your immune response gene, how your immune system reacts to the world is all on chromosome 6. How are you going to deal with gluten? Are you more likely to become Crohn's? 79% of Hashimoto's patients have chromosome 6 abnormalities. Lady Gaga, I was born that way. You are born with these genes. And 24% are born with genes that go into SIRS. So you can have a husband and wife living in the same moldy cabin, and he's like, this is fine. My grandpappy built this in 1802, and she's sick as hell. Well, he might have an immune system that can antibody tag and mark and assassinate the biotoxin easily. Hers can't. So she turns on innate immune responses, which is basically her immune system going Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Predator. There's something out there in the woods, but I can't get a clean shot. My night vision goggles aren't working. Get me the M60. And you just start spraying inflammatory self-made cytokine bullets out there. And that's SIRS. And now you're having multi-symptom, multi-system illness where you're having inflammatory experience in every single body part. And that's how you can get rashes from this, headaches, migraines, fatigue, brain fog, depression, anxiety, exercise intolerance, where you used to hike a hill and now you can't, and so on and so forth. So that's SIRS.
What a wonderful explanation. We're getting close to sign off time, but I just want to say that it was an amazing discussion of what can happen. And unfortunately, so many patients feel that. And you know what they're given in conventional medicine, where this is not even recognized, even though it's so well medically documented, they're given an anti-anxiety med and told it's all in their head.
Or they're given allergy shots. This is not an allergy. It doesn't have anything to do with antibodies. You know, I wanted your listeners, because we did the earache thing.
But we have to sign off, Dr. Darniger. I'm so sorry. Right. But what a fabulous wake-up call. And many people really get in touch with Dr. Darniger, D-R-D-O-R-N-I-N-G-R, which we will have an automated link on the archive. That is exactly true. And so many people suffer needlessly, because even though the science is there, which you have beautifully laid out, it is not being recognized by in conventional mainstream medicine. Not that doctors don't want to know it, they're just not taught it. And the motivation is probably because the answer is not linked to a specific pharmaceutical. It's linked to an array of interventions and having someone like yourself walk someone through it, because it's not one pill, it's not one vitamin, it's not one herb, it's an entire lifestyle reorganization, and may include having to move, which I've seen happen with environmentally sensitive individuals as well. So I want to thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you always for having me. I love hanging out with you. It's the best.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. On behalf of myself and my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, we're hoping that you stay healthy.